And you had mentioned something earlier about work with the community, and let's say the Troy community. Is there any projects that are going on where you're relating to the Troy community outside the campus?
Well, one of the things I'm working on right now is working on a faith-based initiative where we try to work collaboratively with some of the local churches to see what some of their challenges are that they're facing, understand what those are, and see how the college itself can position itself to be of assistance to them. You know, the president, Ram Sammy, is really big on the community, building community relationships with between the college and the community, and a faith-based institution is one of the places he wants to really tap into, because I think that the churches play a major role in the lives of families as well as the community in which these families come from, and if we can partner with them to make sure that we're providing resources based on what their needs are, it could be a great relationship that we have moving forward.
So you haven't did anything with the schools?
So the schools, we work with like programs, like after school programs, like the YMCA. Okay. Like, you know, in April, you know, we usually have this program called Transformation Through Collaboration, which is something that was started by Vice President Lewis Copeland while he was the director of student services. And you know, we invite I think maybe 15 to 30 after school programs from the community of Troy, Schenectady, as well as Albany to the campus for a day, provide them with breakfast and lunch, and talk to them about, you know, preparing for college, financial aid issues, exposing them to programs on their own college.
Now, is this in particular people of color student? Because one of the problems is people of color student have a lot of issues in school.
Yeah, so I mean, the majority of the students are students of color, but you know, again, we partner with these after school programs, so whoever they have in their program is pretty much who attends. We have the EOP program on campus as well for students of color that is very supportive. It's a state run program to make sure that they also, when they get here, they're also successful.
What resources and support are provided to you to accomplish your goals here as chief diversity officer?
You know, I mean, I have a budget that helps as well, and I have the support of the president, President Ram Sammy, to implement some of the ideas that I have. So I would say that so far I've been given a lot of support to make sure that I can implement some of my ideas, whether those be supported as far as like having a consulting group come in to offer train-the-trainer type training model, creating workshops for faculty and staff, or provide training as well. You know, I would say I've been pretty much supported.
Getting all the support and resources.
And resources, whatever is needed.
Okay. What is the chief diversity role in recruiting faculty and staff?
Yes, I mean, I think I work with HR, Human Resource Office. One of the things that HR did, Karen Paquette, when she came on board, was she had the language change in the job descriptions to include, like, you know, to encourage, you know, women, minorities, veterans, as well as individuals with disabilities to apply. A lot of people might think that I don't qualify to apply to Hudson Valley, or they might not consider me. You know, it's not very diverse. They might think, but we make sure that we include language to also include, to be inclusive, to make sure people feel comfortable applying here. I also work with different organizations in the community that whenever there are job vacancies that are out there, the office itself sends out the notices to different organizations in the community that are affiliated with minority groups, so that they can, you know, encourage them to apply as well. You know, we have seen some increase.
You but know. Do you oversee, like, let's say, if they have a hiring, the HR have a personnel hiring group, and do you oversee that to make sure that they have included some form of diversity?
Yes. So, so one of the things that we do is we have fairness and equity committee, where people who are trained to make sure that, you know, we are considering diverse candidates form when they apply. Again, sometimes people who apply, or some of the people who apply, might be from people that I've recommended that they apply as well, you know, so that I let HR know that, you know, there are some people that are applying for this position that you know, we should probably take a look at as well. So, I mean, I have some say, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the final decision, you know, is it based on qualifications and whether or not the person, you know, meets the necessary job requirements as well.
Some studies that have been done mm-hmm. saying that students do well when they have people that look like them mm-hmm. in the classroom mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, well, what are the percentage of faculty here that are?
The faculty percentage, the last time I looked at it was 7%, 7%. And the staff was 3%, I believe. You know, so, I mean, some people have made that argument. You know, my role basically is to make sure I try to interact with students and make sure that they do the best that they can in the classroom situations, right. You know, as well as that, you know, to make sure that teachers or instructors understand that there's not a one-size model that fits all students when you're instructing them. You know, there's some sensitivity that must be taken into consideration as well. This is a campus where we have, like, a lot of resources available. Supportive resources to make sure that if students are facing challenges that, you know, we direct them there. And that's what we do, you know.
Now, there's one other area I want to ask you about, too, and that is the role of the of diversifying the core curriculum yeah. in Cincinnati Community College.
Yeah. So I know that we have a number of electives that cover diversity issues, whether it be like in political science, whether it be history classes, whether it be sociology classes. There is some diversity in the instruction that's being done, the material that's being presented as well. You know, as far as like the core, what's required, it varies based on the student's major, you know.
But do you have any... say as Chief Diversity Officer in terms of when they sitting down to plan out mm-hmm. the core curriculum and the curriculums,
you know,
it's classes in general.
You know, it's funny, that's one area I haven't ventured into yet.
Okay.
You know, because again, I'm still trying to establish some of the awareness. And as we establish the awareness of what it means to be a diverse campus, you know, those are issues that's going to be addressed as well.
So there will be an area that you will be looking at in the future?
In the future, I mean, I think I work well with people on the campus, especially, you know, people that oversee academics
right.
to see if there's a need that, you know, we will address it. But we have some instructors on campus that I know that cover some class, very diverse topics in classes that they, you know, that they teach.
Okay. Now, as a Chief Diversity Officer, do you have the power to make changes, or do you just suggest changes? And why not?
You know, I think, you know, when you use the word power, it can be so, like, you know, misleading. But I think it's more of an influence as far as like working collaboratively with mm-hmm. people to offer some suggestions. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I think that if you do good work. And people respect that the work that you're doing, they will listen. So far, since I've been here in almost 2 years, received a lot of support from some of the suggestions that I've made. I think we're moving in a good direction regarding some of the suggestions that I've made. So I wouldn't call it necessarily power. It's more, you know, you build relationships with people.
Well, the book had to stop someplace.
Yeah,
the book had to make a decision.
So if you're saying that if people listen to what I'm suggesting, mm-hmm. they do.
Okay,
they do.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned collaborative, so
mm-hmm.
I know you talked about that. That's mm-hmm. that's a good thing. And one of the questions I would like to ask you too, like after you set up all your programs and mm-hmm. plans, mm-hmm. and let's say the years gonna roll through,
mm-hmm.
you know, how will you measure the success or failure of your diversity and inclusion plans?
You know, it's you know. This is interesting, right? Because what I normally do whenever I do presentations or I do programs, I usually have people fill out an evaluation just to get their feedback. Like when I do the college forum classes, I have students who provide me with an evaluation. They make suggestions, you know? And based on the suggestions, it does, lets me know whether or not they're serious or whether they really want to buy into some of the things that I'm suggesting. And I think quantifiable, measurable surveys as far as like, you know, people's responses to your presentation and the programs is the best way to really assess whether or not it's being successful or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I think it's people are buying into it. You know, but again, each generation, every 4 years, you get a new group of kids who graduate, a new freshman class who went to high school, and they're different from the previous group of freshman kids, right? So it's, you know, the main thing is that we have to have faculty and staff on campus that are aware of the challenges that are coming to us, and then be sensitive and make sure that when students come to us that they're leaving here feel a little bit more whole as far as like how they see each other and how they see themselves and how they interact with each other.
Right. Okay. Just one last question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For students who are listening, you know, who haven't decided on a college yet, or even in Detroit mm-hmm. particularly area, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you, why should they come to Hudson Valley Community College?
Everyone that I've spoken to regarding Hudson Valley speak about the quality of the education, mm-hmm. beautiful campus that we have, the instructors that are very caring and supportive, the resources that are available to students to ensure that they're successful. I mean, if you graduate from high school with an IEP, you can still attend Hudson Valley because we have supportive services here that will make sure that, you know, you graduate with at least an associate's. So I would say that the support services, the support resources alone at the campus is enough to encourage people to come here, as well as the quality of the education that that they were going to be receiving from this college, as well as, number one, it's affordable. It's affordable.
All right, there you have it. Angela Thomas, the Chief Diversity Officer at Hudson Valley Community College. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, William.
All right.
All right, bro.